Our second reading this morning comes from the book of Acts, chapter 16, verses 16 to 34. Listen now for the word of the Lord. One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days. But Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her masters saw that her hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them to the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet into the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains had become unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw the prison doors wide open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, since he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted in a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." The jailer called for lights, and rushing in, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them outside and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They answered, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your entire household." They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. In that same hour of the night, he took them and washed their wounds, and he and his entire family were baptized without delay. He brought them up into the house and set food before them. And he and his entire household rejoiced that he had become a believer in God. The word of God for the people of God. And as the people of God, let it.
Let us pray. Lord, I'm a sinner saved by your grace. But I know all you have to do is say the word, and I shall be healed long enough to do your work and to do your will. Father, it's my prayer that you would hide this preacher behind the cross, that your people might see you and not me, that they might hear you and not me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. For us in Christ's name I pray. Amen. I want to challenge your thinking with the thought, things are not as they always seem. Things are not as they always seem. Two angels were traveling and they stopped in the night of the home of a wealthy family. The family was rude and refused to let the angels stay in the mansion's guest room. Instead, The angels was given a small space in the cold basement. And as they made their bed on the hardwood floor, the older angel saw a hole in the wall, and he repaired it. When the younger angel asked why, the older angel replied, "Things aren't as they always seem." The next night, the angels came to another house, a very poor but very hospitable farmer and his wife. And after sharing with them what little food they had, they gave them their bed so that they would have a good night's rest. When they woke up in the morning, they found the farmer and his wife crying. Their only cow, whose milk had been the sole source of income, lay dead in the field. And the younger angel was infuriated. He says to the older angel, "How could you let this happen?" He said, "When we were at the rich man's house, they did nothing for us, yet you patched up the hole in the wall. And now that we've come to this poor family who gave us everything, you let their cow die. How could you do that?" And the older angel says, "Things aren't always as they seem. When we stayed in the basement of the mansion, I noticed that there was gold stored in that hole in the wall. And since the owner was so obsessed with greed and unwilling to share his good fortune, I sealed the wall so he wouldn't find it. Then last night we slept in the farmer's bed, but the angel of death came to take his wife, and I gave them the cow instead. Things aren't always as they seem." When I was growing up, I think my mother did a great job at raising 5 knucklehead boys and 1 girl. We had a nice house, always nice clothes, but it was one thing that was lacking. I never heard my mother say, "I love you." My buddy's mom, Ms. Boyd, could say, "I love you," but my own mom couldn't say it. My aunt could say it. My grandmother could say it. Miss Amanda, another lady who raised me, could say it, but not my mother. And I remember at 21 years old, I said, "Mom, we need to talk." And I said, "Why is it that Miss Amanda can say this and Miss Boyd and Auntie and Grandma, but you could, I've never heard you say I love you." And she got quiet. And when she thought about it, she said, "You know, my mom never said I love you to me. My dad never said I love you. Things are not always as they seem." What I found is that the love of God was there, and my mother loved me by doing, but because it had never been said to her or modeled for her, it had to be manifest. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Sometimes things are not always as they seem. What's really interesting about this text, it starts out really beautiful that Paul and Silas are on their way to prayer. They're on their way to the house of worship. Sounds good, right? But this lady with this ability to tell fortunes, apparently running alongside of them and shouting, "These are men from the Most High God, and they're going to talk to you about the way of salvation." Scripture says it went on for days. So my first point is that ministry is about interruptions. But if you're a control freak, You don't like interruptions, amen? I read that this guy who says that he was a control freak, he says, to give my attitude the best spin, I could say that I was disciplined, or I like to map things out. But he said, not really. He says, the truth is, spiritually, I like to be in control. It makes me feel powerful and secure. I don't like to admit it, but the heart of the matter is, it's me putting my trust in something other than God. I like to know what's happening. It's not discipline. It's idolatry. And if you like to be in control of your circumstances, he goes on to say, then you know what interruptions are like. They're frustrating. They get in the way of your plans. They need to be avoided or discarded or dealt with as soon as possible so that you can get back in control, right? He says, wrong. Those of us who follow Jesus shouldn't act this way when our plans are interrupted. Come on in. Sit down. I was reading Matthew 14, and it talks about how Jesus handled the situation when he was interrupted. He found out that John the Baptist had just been killed. And he was sad and he needed some time alone, so he got into a boat. And when he got into the boat, he was just having some quiet time. But word got out where he went. And on his way back, imagine with me, there's probably over 1,000 people waiting with needs. Now, scripture says that he had compassion on them. I don't know about you, but if I'm grieving and I need some time away and I told people I'm going away, I don't want to be disturbed. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And if I saw all of these people lining up waiting for me to pray with them and so forth, now, can I just be honest? I think I might have started rubbing the other way. Because we don't like to be interrupted, amen? But ministry, life is about interruption. Crisis is not going to knock on your door and say, well, you know, tomorrow I'm going to come at this time, or next week I'm going to come. It happens. That's how life happens. Amen? Are you with me? And so sometimes, rather than getting bent out of shape, we need to roll with the punches. Right, choir? Just trying to make sure nobody's asleep up there. All right, we're doing good. We need to roll with the punches. I was thinking about this text, and I was thinking about the fact that Paul couldn't take it any longer. Paul said, this woman is getting on my nerves. So notice what the scripture says. He didn't talk to the lady. He spoke to her spirit, that demonic spirit that was in her. And he says, in the name of Jesus, come out of her right now. And scripture says the demonic spirit came out of her and left her at that moment. And now I'm thinking, wow, this is incredible. This woman who was demon possessed is now healed. Come on, let's give Paul and Silas some praise. They went to the Lord. That's not what happened in this text. What happened was her owners were so upset with them that he had them brought before the magistrate, and they was beaten, stripped, beaten, and thrown into prison. Now, let me digress for a minute. My second point is being a Christian is not easy. Being a Christian, it's not easy. You ever just want to tell somebody off? Anybody? You ever just want to give them a piece of your mind? Anybody? Rob, it's just me. I'm the only one. But being a Christian is not easy. And you know what I think that happens to us sometimes? Is we become pretenders as Christians. Because we don't want to let people know the real struggles of life. And we don't want to let them know that sometimes life is messy. Sometimes life is chaotic. Sometimes we have to forgive people we don't want to forgive. Sometimes we've got to love folks we don't like. We don't want to let people know that part of it because we think that if we tell them that, they're not going to want to be a Christian. And so we think that we're protecting God from the bad press. Amen? And truly, we're not helping. I think it would be good if we were just honest with people. And here's my honesty. Here's my truth. I'm not what I ought to be, but I'm better than I used to be. Amen? The greatest thing that I have ever done in my life was the decision that I made to give my life to Christ. Was the best decision I ever made. Because I could not have known, I could not know the joy that I know, the nearness of God, without making that decision. It was the best decision I've made. I've made some good decisions. I went into the military and it was one of the best things for me. I got married, it was a good decision. But the best decision I ever made was the day that I gave my life to the Lord. What's the best decision you've ever made? But being a Christian, it's not easy. Sometimes there's going to be hardships. Sometimes there's going to be struggle. But the question is, will we trust him? All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to those who are called according to his purpose. Notice what he says. All things work together for good. He didn't say it was always going to be good. And by the way, God doesn't need our protection. God can handle it. But will we be honest with other people about struggles, about our journey? I love this text because Paul and Silas, they're beaten, they're thrown into jail. And what does Scripture say next? It's around midnight. They're singing hymns to God and worshiping him. Wait a minute. These guys were just stripped and beaten, and now they're in chains and they're praising God. You mean they're not complaining? They're not saying, Lord, we've given our lives to you, and look what you've done. You got us beat in the city, stripped and beaten, and now we're in jail. No, they're not complaining. They're worshiping. It might be a formula for how we get out of struggles. To give God praise because of his nearness to us. Because he promised never to leave us, to be with us even until the ends of the age. And let me say this, because they were praising God and worshiping God, God showed up. God showed up. Where do you need God to show up in your life? Some of us, it could be finances and things could be hard. God will show up. God's faithful. Some of us, it can be the family dynamic and someone's estranged from the family. I don't really care what it is. God is going to show up because God is faithful. Maybe it's something that you're praying about right here in this church. And it seems impossible. But God's going to show up in a great way because God is faithful. How many of you know him to be faithful? I don't know about you, but God's got a great track record in my family. He's been faithful and he shows up just when you need him, just in the nick of time, there's this violent earthquake, and says it shook the prison, and all of the chains fell off. And noticed that the jailer looks around, he sees that the doors are open and the chains are off, and he says, oh my goodness, what in the world am I going to do? Because he knew the penalty. So he took out his sword and he was going to take his own life. Paul yells out, no, don't do that, we're all here. We're just praising God. What I love about Paul praising God is that the prisoners heard it, the jailer heard it, and God heard it. How many of you know he'll hear your prayers? That he's high, but he listens low. He hears our prayers, the prayers of his people, and God is faithful to answer them. The jailer comes before Paul and Silas, who he had just beaten earlier, and he's trembling. And he asks a very significant question. What must I do to be saved? And my whole household, what do we need to do in order to be saved? Here's what I want you to see, is the contrast in this story. In the beginning, it seemed like the very ones who were free are really not free. The judge, the owners of the slave, and even the slave girl at the time. But now look at the story. Paul and Silas are free. The girl is free. And the jailer is free. Things are not always as they seem. Let us pray. Would you take the hand of the person next to you?
Sit down. Let us bow our heads for prayer. Dear holy and forgiving God, hallowed be your name, and may forever your glory shine throughout the darkness of our life and of sin. We come before you prisoners of our own desire, our own sin, and of our own will. Your presence and word can shatter these chains that hold us back from eternal glory. And grant to us this day that this may be so. We come before you today with heavy hearts aching for your forgiveness. We dream of a peaceful world, but we are lost in the midst of its darkness. We become burdened by the worry of finances, emotional relationships, physical illness, and hardened hearts. All we ask is that your will be done and you enter into our lives this day. And that you give us the courage to respond to this message. We get lost in thinking that we are not good enough to be loved by you, just like the jailer in our reading today. But our faith, our relationship with you, no matter how small, no matter how weak, is accepted and loved by you. Let us keep in mind the message we just heard. Whose plan will prevail? And things are not as they seem. And as we pray the Lord's Prayer this morning, may we remember the significance of thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray and we know that your will has, is, and will be done on earth so that earth may be like heaven.
Let us join now, together in one voice, and in one mind and in one spirit, in the Lord's Prayer found printed in your bulletin. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.